we present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
A Manger in Padua by Glyn Day, produced by Andre Botner.
The world is made up of opposites, of love and hate, of peace and war. At this special time of year, we think, or should think, of peace. I remember the war and of what Christmas meant to me then. This is a true story. Some of the details are a little hazy, some of the sentiments perhaps a little colored by time. Maybe you've heard it before. There were other soldiers like me, fighting for their country. Other soldiers who spent their Christmas dodging the Germans. But my story ends at Christmas time. It begins a few months earlier. As a member of the Cape Town Highlanders, I left my home country with a contingent of young South Africans, all bound for North Africa. We joined forces with Montgomery and his men, and fought against Rommel in Tobruk. By February 1943, we had forced Rommel back to Wadi Akarit. The way to Europe was now open. It was decided to attack Italy. Forces moved into Sicily. It was a warm summer's evening when we were put ashore somewhere between Syracuse and Cape Passero on the east coast. I remember how cautiously we made our way inland, fearing that our enemies had planned an ambush somewhere along the road that led to the nearest town. Roger Blake, a young lieutenant from Montgomery's 8th Army, joined me on the march.
Blimey, mate. This is worse than the Sunday traffic to Brighton.
Keep it quiet, Rog.
Well, why is everyone moving so slowly, then?
For heaven's sake, we can't just go storming across the fields yelling an invitation for someone to perforate us with his machine gun, now can we?
You mean Mussolini's morons? Not a chance. I'll lay you 50 to 1, they're halfway up the Swiss Alps by now.
Oh, that's a ruddy long way away from here.
Or maybe they heard that you were here, so they took a trip to Cape Town. I can just see them surrounded by lions and tigers and elephants and things.
Look, I've told you before, we don't live in a jungle. It's a civilized city, probably even more civilized than your stinking Brighton that you keep on about.
You're dead right, mate. It does stink. And I'll tell you something else, I love it. It can stink to high heaven all it wants, but please just let me smell it again. I'd rather have dear old Brighton's pong than the stinking stink of war.
Go on with you, you're only happy when you're fighting.
Be a soldier and see the world, they said. All I've seen so far are a lot of muddy boots and the sergeant's tonsils when he yells.
Get down!
Oh, that wasn't a Jerry gun. That was one of ours, mate. And you know something else? There was no answering report. Here, hang on. There's some action over to our right. Come on, let's see what gives.
What's happened, Rog?
They've gone, that's what. What did I tell you? They've scarpered with their tails between their legs.
Who have?
The eye ties, mate. The place is deserted.
So? What happens now?
We move on. We're heading towards Mount Etna. Should have brought me camera. Happy holiday snaps from Roger. Look, Ma, that's me at the foot of Mount Etna singing, Lava, come back to me.
We were held up for 3 weeks on the Catamian Plain. Roger's naturally bullions waned a little when he realized that the Germans were pretty in command along the ridges to the south of Mount Etna. On the 25th of July, Mussolini resigned and was imprisoned. Marshal Pietro Badoglio took over, but surrendered to the Germans early in September. Meanwhile, we kept on the move, backwards and forwards, dodging the German bullets, and of course letting loose quite a few of our own. Eventually, however, we found ourselves en route to Padova, better known perhaps as Padua. It was on this journey that a small party of us, including Roger, walked straight into the enemy's hands.
Isn't it a beautiful country, Vivian? We're in the Po Valley region. Did you know that? Lots of small peasant farms around here. Dairy farms, mainly.
Yes, and plenty of hiding places, too. The Jerrys have probably scared the wits out of local peasants, taken over their farmhouses by now.
Hold it! What's up? Keep down. Flatten down, chaps, and keep still.
I saw something move over there. In those trees. There. There are two of them. Obviously on guard.
Oh, yeah, I see them. This calls for a little plan, don't you think? Here, I'll tell you what. I'll creep forward to where this tall grass ends and then fire a couple of warning shots in their direction. Taking careful aim first, of course, so I don't accidentally hit the trees. You count to five, and then scarper as fast as you can to your left. But don't open fire until I give you the word.
What's the idea?
Well, we don't know how many of them there are. And I don't want them to know just yet how many of us there are. This way we find out, and they won't have the slightest idea where the main party is, because you'll be over there. Got it?
It's as clear as mud.
Good. Now remember, 5 seconds after I fired, move.
Right with you, Roger.
Good. Here goes. Wish me luck. Ian. Oh, you just can't trust them, can you? Liars, usually.
Now, do you believe me, Tommy? Come on, otherwise we mow you down and leave you to drown in your own blood. I will give you 3 seconds. That is all.
Generous, isn't he? Nice turn of phrase, though. I'll give him that.
One.
He can count too. Must be educated.
You better do as he says, Roger.
Two!
All right. Help me up, Ian. Righto, chaps. We've had it this time. Everybody up.
Three!
Congratulations, mate. Nice bit of counting. Sorry I can't raise my hands in surrender, but you got me in the shoulder, see? I'm bleeding all over me nice muddy tunic.
Aiden! You will move forward so that we can search you. And then you will march. In single file into the village.
Ooh, he's going to buy us crumpets and tea. Isn't that nice?
Quiet, Rod. You want to be a dead prisoner or one with a chance to escape?
My lips are sealed, mate, but my eyes are wide open. And my right arm would give anything to push his stupid face in for what he's done to my left one.
You! Move! And don't try any foolishness. Otherwise, we shoot.
Ooh, he'd be great in films, wouldn't he? Should I offer him a contract?
He'll offer you a bullet in a minute.
He's given me one already.
Come on, let's move.
Yeah, I suppose we'd better, hadn't we?
You're all right, Roger. You look terrible.
Thanks. That makes me feel a lot better.
Oh, sorry, chum.
How much further do you think?
Oh, don't ask me. We seem to have been marching for miles. Countryside's all new to me. Can't be far from Padua, though. And that's where we're heading, remember? And we've been walking in the same direction.
Yeah.
Here, lean on me. You should have let me take a look at that wound of yours.
Rubbish. Oh, it's just a graze.
Since when does a graze bleed like a river?
Look, mate. We let these ruddy Jerrys see that I'm badly wounded and they shoot me on the spot like a ruddy horse that can't run anymore. So you just let me play my little heroic game a little while longer, will you?
Yeah, sure.
If you want the truth, though, it hurts like the devil all the way down my arm.
I wish I could do something for you. You ever been captured before?
No. First time lucky. And I don't think I like it very much. Being herded along like a lot of sheep going to who knows where.
Why don't we map out our own route, then?
Escape? You must be joking. Have you counted how many of them there are? We haven't got a snowball's hope, mate.
Just keep your eyes open, Rog, and if you get any ideas, don't keep them to yourself. We must have marched for about an hour and a half. And one thing I'll say for the Germans, they were much fitter than we were. We all looked and felt pretty exhausted, but the Germans who guarded us looked as if they could have marched that pace for another 2 hours at least. We were marched onto an almost deserted platform. Almost, except for about 10 Nazi soldiers who looked as if they'd gladly have murdered their own fathers if they'd tried to take the station away from them. We had to wait for about an hour in the fading winter sunlight until a special train arrived to take us on the first lap of our journey towards those notorious German prisoner of war camps about which we'd heard so much. I was determined not to spend the rest of the war, and possibly the rest of my life, being tortured by the Nazis.
They serve drinks on this train.
Don't you ever lose your sense of humor.
That's all I've got left, mate.
Sorry, Roger. I didn't mean to put a damper on it.
You couldn't, not really. If anything, it'll be the bleeding war that does it. But I'm fighting against it. Hey, do you know what the date is?
Well, let's see. It's December, isn't it?
15th. 10 days to Christmas. Have you wrapped my present yet?
I don't fancy spending Christmas in a concentration camp.
Oh, I don't know. Might be fun. I'm sure they'll hand out funny hats and crackers and fill our army stockings with goodies. Just like back home.
I've got an idea how we can avoid all that.
What do you mean?
I mean escape.
How?
Did you notice when we got on the train that there are only 4 guards on this coach?
Yeah? So?
So, 2 have to be here, watching over us. And 2 are in the corridor, 1 at either end.
Go on.
Well, if I visit the toilet, I reduce the number of guards on me to 1.
Well, how'd you work that out? You said there were 2 in the corridor.
Yes, but 1's at one end, and the other will guard the toilet door. Got it?
Not quite. What do you plan to do?
I'm going to pretend that I need to go pretty badly. And when I'm inside, and this is where you come in, I want you to create some sort of diversion. The fellow guarding me will have his attention distracted by the noise in here, and that's when I slip out and make a jump for it.
Hey, it might work at that. All right, mate, you can count on me. And good luck.
Thanks, Rog. And if I don't see you, Merry Christmas.
You're in Italy now, mate. I believe the greeting is Buon Natale. Anyway, send my Christmas present care of Hitler, will you?
Getting out of the compartment was easy. I edged my way along the corridor with one of the guards at my side. The other eyed me suspiciously, but as we reached the toilet door, he turned his head away, quite content that everything was perfectly normal. I went in and closed the door behind me with a clatter. Prayed that Roger had heard. He had.
Oh! Oh, help! My arm! Help me, sir! I can't take it anymore! I've got to get a doctor! The pain in my arm! A doctor, please!
Quiet! Quiet! You'll get your doctor in the place you kept. There are no doctors on this train.
What is wrong?
It's all right. It's a prisoner who was shot.
Yeah, come on, you. Back in there. Now!
Not on your life!
The plan hadn't worked exactly as I'd figured it would. But the main thing was I was alive and I was free. At least for a while. One of those shots had hit me in the leg, just above the ankle. And I'd cut my face when I jumped through the window. When I hit the ground, I rolled down some sort of embankment. It was pretty dark and freezing cold, and I didn't have the vaguest idea where I was. All I knew was that somehow I had to keep moving. I stumbled my way through the night, more or less in the direction from which we'd come. Hours later, in the gray light of morning, I stopped and looked around me. Through some sort of haze, I saw farmland stretching before me. There was a river and bridges crossing it at intervals. Somewhere in the distance, there was a large white building. I suddenly realized how weak I was. I'd lost a lot of blood, and my leg hurt like the devil. I moved forward, wondering to myself whether that white building was occupied by Germans or by Italian peasants. I remember deciding to risk it and stumbling forward into the field. I never got there. Somewhere along the way, I fell over and lost consciousness. Next thing I remember was the faint smell of hay. When I opened my eyes, there was someone sitting near me, watching me. I thought at first that I was dreaming. And then the figure turned and called out to someone in what I thought was another room.
Papa, come quick. The young man has opened his eyes.
Bring some of that hot soup, Anna. Our friends need of it.
Please, I...
Please, do not try to talk, Mr. Anthony. You are very weak.
But how do you know who I am? What happened?
I will tell you everything. I just lie quiet. My daughter Anna found you lying in the field a little way away from our farmhouse. You were sick and hurt. She called to me and we brought you to the house. You are in the attic. We had to put you here because of the Germans. They are always around and we pray that they do not look here for you. You have been unconscious and delirious for 2 days.
2 days?
No, we know who you are because my daughter saw your picture in the village. It is a reward for your capture.
Here is the soup, Papa.
Ah, good, good. No, do not worry, Signor Anthony. You are safe with us. We do not like the Germans. This is my daughter, Anna. She is beautiful, yes? She will look after you.
Come, Signor Anthony. The soup is good. I made it myself.
I don't know what...
Do not talk yet. You can talk when you are stronger. Come. I will feed you. Oh, Signor Anthony, you are awake. How do you feel?
Much better today, Anna. Much better.
Yes, you are looking better. There is color in your cheeks.
There's color in your cheeks, too.
Oh, well, that is because you are looking at me as if I was... As if you...
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you blush, but you are lovely, you know. Especially when your cheeks are red.
You are awful.
How long have I been here?
3 days, that is all.
Are there really pictures of me in the village?
Yes. Big posters with your name and a photo.
Where did they get a photo of... Oh, I know. My papers. They took them away from me when they took me prisoner.
You are much better looking than your photo.
Careful. I'll be blushing next.
How is your leg?
Oh, it feels much better. Was it you that cleaned me up, you know, when they brought me in all dirty, full of blood? Oh, now you're blushing again. I didn't mind. I just wanted to say thank you. Anna, what's that bundle in the corner?
Oh, that. It is some sticks of dynamite which Papa hid in some flour sacking in case the Germans looked up here. Papa says if ever they try to take us prisoner, he will blow us all up. But I don't think he means it.
Anna, are we far from the railway station?
A couple of miles.
Come here. Help me to the window.
Oh.
I want to see something.
Take my hand. Come. That's the way.
There. Yes, I see. What bridge is that over there?
It is a railway bridge. I've seen German troop trains pass over there, usually in the early morning.
Anna, I have an idea, and I want you and your papa to help me. First, I want you to go into the village. Well, Anna, what news?
I saw some Germans at the station, but they did not see me. They were talking loudly. Tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., a big train full of soldiers.
5 a.m. Come, we have work to do. Can you find me some fuse wire and a pair of pliers?
There is a fuse wire with the dynamite. And here is a pair of pliers in Papa's toolbox. Oh, look, Ian, it is beginning to snow.
Yeah, it's going to be a cold morning.
Papa says he will go with you. I wish I could be at your side, too.
No, Anna. This is a man's war. You must stay here and pray for us.
Will you take this with you?
But I'm not a Catholic.
Oh, that does not matter. This rosary will protect you. I will pray for your life to the Virgin Mother.
Thank you, Anna.
lights in place. You take cover, Papa. I'll stay here till I hear the train, light the fuse, then make a dash for it.
Let me do it.
No, Papa, I must do it. For Roger's sake and others like him. For your sake, too. And Anna's.
See, I think I understand.
Listen. There it is. It's early. Run, Papa, run.
I go.
Right. Gotta get this alight. Oh, blast, my fingers are frozen. Come on. There. Now I've got to get out of here. And fast.
There was a blinding flash as the dynamite blew the bridge to pieces. I held my breath for a second, and then the German troop train went hurtling into space and crashed into the icy river below.
Buona Natale.
What?
Merry Christmas.
It's Christmas.
I have a present for you.
What is it?
Open it and see.
But it's a very old Father Christmas. And a carving of a mother and child.
The Father Christmas was my grandmother's. The carving is of the Virgin and her child, the baby Jesus. Papa carved it during the First World War when he was a soldier like you. For the girl he loved. It was for Mama. And Mama gave it to me before she died. Now I give it to you.
But they must both be very precious to you.
That is what Christmas means, to give away the most precious things, not the most expensive, to those whom you love.
Anna, if ever I get out of this war alive, I want you to marry me. I'd swim from Cape Town to Padua if I have to.
Oh, Ian, that is your gift to me, and it is a beautiful one.
I love you.
And I love you.
What?
Oh, no, what is that? Papa!
Quick, Ian, hide in these straw the best you can. Hmm? It is the Germans, about 10 of them. I will try to send them away.
Oh, no!
Don't worry, Anna. This will protect me. This mother and this child will look down on me and bless me. I know.
Oh, you are half Catholic already. Come, when you have dug yourself in, I will arrange the sacking over you.
This is what it must be like to lie in a manger.
Yes, and this is your own little manger in Padua.
People coming!
Please! Oh, good morning. Buon Natale. Merry Christmas. What is it you want?
Your horse, my friend. Out of my way. Come on, men, inside. Name?
Balito. Pietro Balito. This is my daughter, Anna. We live alone. We do not harm.
Have you seen this man?
No, I haven't. Is he a German?
He is a South African. A prisoner. He escaped from us not very far from here.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps your daughter has seen him.
Oh, no, I hardly go out the war. I am frightened.
If you are lying to me, we'll both die. Where do these steps lead?
To the attic. It is too small. Very small.
Bad. Big enough to hide someone. Franz, search the attic.
I have some wine. Not very good, but enough for a small glass each, yes?
Good. We will drink your wine. Go on, Franz. Hurry up.
I heard him approach. He moved some of the straw aside and then thrust the butt of his rifle hard into it, right into my stomach. I felt faint and was certain I couldn't hold out any longer. And then he moved away and poked around in the sacking where the dynamite had been concealed. Finally, he turned and started back down the ladder, and I knew that it was going to be a long, silent Christmas day. The Germans remained at Papa Bolito's for 3 long weeks. Somehow, Anna managed late at night to bring me food and hot soup, risking her life for me. You may not believe it, but true stories sometimes do have happy endings. When the war was over, I returned to Padua and married the girl I loved. I still have that faded Father Christmas and the carving of Mary and the baby Jesus. They're worth more to me than the military cross that they pinned on my tunic for blowing up that bridge. In years to come, our children will look at all three, and I hope they'll remember the story of a love and 2 precious gifts which were given to me by their mother in an attic so like a manger in Padua.
As the lovers Ian and Anna, you heard Michael Mayer and Helen Bourne. Papa was played by Gordon Van Royen, Roger by David Janes, and Werner by Michael Atkinson. You also heard Henry Goodman and Glenn Day. A Manger in Padua by Glenn Day was produced in our Cape Town studios by Andre Botma. Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.